If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is the Tao, the way of the wealthy heart. So as we always do, let's start with attunement, integration. Take a deep breath and call yourself forward as a continuum of love, light, wisdom, creative intelligence, the living light of the living word, the living sound tapestry of multidimensional awareness, the fullness of who and what you are, not just in this enchilada that's listening to this transmission tonight, but in every place that your essence has ever touched to in time, space, matter, and antimatter. In other words, in the material worlds and in the worlds of spirit. In highest truth, there is no place that you are not. You are everywhere, in every quark of existence. So within that awareness, let's bring present as much of that fullness, of that bouquet, of richness, of that wealth of heart, which is to say the expanded core essence of your being. That's what we mean by heart. Let's bring as much of that to bear as we possibly can right now into this time-space continuum that we call the Earth field trip. And just wiggle into that expansiveness. Let it flow into your cells and recharge and reanimate and revivify them. Because we're entering into the first energy envelope of what the Mayans have been calling the seventh day, which is the full blossoming and impartation of everything that we have germinated and worked through during the sixth night. And this is the last day of this cosmic cycle in which we are entering an entirely different version of experiential awareness. And so tonight, the Ashtar Command will be transmitting essence of that which is the newness, of that which will impregnate consciousness with a greater expansive potential to enter into the unknown fearlessly and with great, great joy. It is joy that will carry you into this new creative womb, this new creative matrix. In fact, there isn't even a matrix there yet. We shall import it as we enter in. We shall move in and furnish it, let's say, with that which is being imparted into the consciousness this evening. So let yourself be born anew and to be clothed with the raiment of this new dispensation into which we are entering, that is beyond time, and in which we will be operating in the miraculous, in the supernatural and transcendental, in that which is going beyond anything we have understood, thought we understood, or believed about absolutely everything. But to do that, we need to move into a place of embracement of wealth, abundance, expansion, fullness, which is what is going to carry us into the unlimited and pregnant potential that exists in this new day. So again, take a deep breath and allow the Divine Spirit to make more room within you, within your vehicles of consciousness, within your physical cells, your astral body, your causal body, your mental body, your etheric body, and your soul, in which you transcend bodiness such as we know it, and are clothed in the Shekinah Kavod, which simply means in Hebrew, the divine glorified body. No, I don't think we can actually comprehend that with our linear understanding. But part of our transitioning into this new level of the earth consciousness and life experience, we will be taught from within, from that same divine spirit that is clothing us with its glory. So be aware that all beauty, all awareness, all knowledge, all truth is everywhere, in every place, in everyone, and in you at all times. The question is, are you getting in touch with that abundance? Are you beginning even now to tap into the miraculous, the unlimited, the next step of that leap of faith which enables you to sprout new wings and to soar beyond places that you thought you would never be able to go to in consciousness and within your own capabilities? Do you have a wealthy heart? Yep. Wealth of heart, like absolutely everything else you will ever experience, is a state of consciousness. Absolutely nothing, no thing exists for you apart from your conscious awareness of it. Or perhaps we could say what you're allowing yourself to be consciously aware of. Another way we could understand this is to say what we are not conscious of really does not exist for us. Our choice to move our awareness more consciously into the unknown areas is what opens the door of new possibilities. So there needs to be that choice to move into, to lean into, to slide into, or any way you can wiggle into areas that you hadn't perhaps even considered before as options. Are you willing to go where no person has gone before? Well, of course you are, if you're still listening to this seminar and this crazy lady. So a person with a wealthy heart, an abundant heart, is a person who's not afraid to live life full on. And we're not talking here a sloppy life of self-indulgence or the mindless pursuit of the things of this world, but a life lived impeccably as a scientist of consciousness and awareness states. It's one in which you're continually experiencing, experimenting, observing, watching the effects of certain energies that you put forth, watching how it organizes the events in your life, and staying present with your life process. You know, we live in a world that is filled with folks who appear to be living life like robots, programmed to do survival 101. You know, you can tell that they're not enjoying life. They certainly aren't experiencing the love that they are. And they're collapsing and contracting into the fear-based patterns of the dying, obsolete systems whose time it's come to pass from this world. There are certain things that we have corporately placed in motion here through misaligned consciousness choices, through experiments that weren't quite aligned with the highest good and the divine plan, choices that were made out of ego ignorance, that now have been found do not work. And these particular systems will not follow us into the new areas of consciousness. So, of course, they must be exposed for what they are, dismantled, and tossed in the junk heap. Maybe we can use some of the scrap metal, but actually, where we're going, there's new things that will be better suited to what we will be experiencing. So, how do we break out of this karmic trance that most people seem to be so caught up in? Well, that's what this seminar is all about, the Tao, the way of the wealthy heart, which is, again, a way of living life that permeates everything in your life. It isn't something you sit down for an hour or two to do as a spiritual practice. It's a way of life that you move into and begin to operate from. So again, the heart is really your divine core essence. And the true spiritual heart and conscious awareness are one and the same thing. So the awakened spiritual heart is like, it's like a flaming golden effulgence that just keeps radiating and expanding and embracing and including and expanding even more. And it is unlimited in power, unlimited in creativity, unlimited in ever-expanding potential and miracle-working power. And that is the wealthy heart, the abundant heart. And it's out of the abundance of our heart that we actually orchestrate and live our lives. So here are some keys to activating that, that you can begin immediately to end cycle on and to, in terms of the key, use it. Turn that lock and go into new areas. Number one, cease wishing and wanting. Wanting implies your belief in lack. To want is to lack. To believe that you lack whatever it is you want. And it is done unto you as you believe. So it's your belief that is always manifesting in your life. It is done to you as you believe. So why not believe that you already have, whatever it is, and then act as if you have it. That's the single most important key. The human being is such that it always wants to see beforehand what it's getting into. It wants to control and manipulate outcome. But we are being taught to live an entirely different way, where you accept the having of whatever it is by faith, and it is the faith that then materializes as the substance of whatever it is that you've hoped for. It is the faith itself that concretizes your belief into manifestation. Oh, if you can get that key, if you can get that one key, you would be able to turn so many fearful scenarios around in a nanosecond and really walk with true empowerment. So again, why not believe that you already have whatever it is, and then act as if you had it? So your energy is what you are identified by. Everything in the cosmos recognizes you by your unique energetic signature. In fact, that's your cosmic passport. Your energy must match the dimension or the consciousness zone that you wish to enter, or you're not allowed to see it, and certainly are unable to enter it. So your energy and where you want to go or experience must be lined up and match. Huge, huge key. So you become the energy of abundance. The energy of abundantly having. And that wealthy heart just draws whatever that is right into your life. That's why you can do more real, productive work inside yourself, in the privacy of your own heart, mind, spirit, than you will ever do out trying to beat the bushes and make things happen in the outer world. Everything is caused by inner alignment in consciousness, and then it manifests in the outer world. So do your inner work, and everything else will fall in line. The one characteristic that all truly financially abundant people share is that they're simply not concerned about the price tag. They don't look to see how much something costs on the menu before they order. They decide what it is they want to eat, and they go right to that. And again, they don't consider what the price tag is, if anything they want to purchase. But they buy whatever it is that they truly want. They move right towards the having of it and totally bypass any wishing or wanting. So that is what we need to take as an example and cease being so concerned about how much something costs materially. Because it's that concern with the price tag, it's that concern about, quote, quote, the economy, that's causing people to create a false sense of lack. And it is a false sense of lack because you have never been supported by little strips of paper and little round coins. You have always been supported by the love that you are, which always takes care of itself. And that love that you are simply takes the energy that we call money and directs it to bring greater good. That is what love does. It always seeks to enlarge its realm, its territory of blessing and blessedness, and to include more and more within that. That is the nature of love. The nature of love is to give, and the giving hand is never empty. The clutching hand is always poor, for it is given to us in like measure. If we give in a meager and stingy way, fearfully, then we reap a very stingy and meager, if any, return. But it seems the more we give, the more the divine ability to give is extended through us, because the whole nature of the universe is, again, expansion, embracement, enlarging of territory, and the gracing through more and more life forms for more and more good and blessing to source through the collective. So as we move in harmony with our divine nature, which is to love and to give and to bless and to be a blessing, we will never, ever lack for anything. Last seminar, we spoke about operating in your kingdom authority. And this is just following along the same lines, but through a different lens of consciousness. You know me. I like to take the prism of truth, the diamond of truth, and keep turning it so that different facets catch the light. That way we can all find a place to get a toehold of understanding. So, therefore, wishing and wanting and being overly concerned about how much a thing costs, these are all characteristics of lack, which, as I've just said, only produces more lack. And it's lack that causes you to feel like a have-not in a world of haves, or a second-class citizen, or an unloved and unworthy child, or simply a victim of circumstances. We've got a lot of people that have bought into the victim consciousness. They're all over the planet. So again, why not instead believe that whatever is part of your highest divine destiny is certain to come to you? Whether you do anything about it or not, certain things have your name on it. And the best thing you can do is become the energy of the having of that, so that that which is the having can find you more easily. If you keep transmitting lack, 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 how is this greater abundance going to find you? You've created a polarization there, not an affinitization. We attract in the higher worlds by affinitization. It's by coming into affinity and harmonic resonance with whatever it is you wish to embody, enter, become one with, or get to know. Harmonic resonance. You got to match whatever it is that you want to attract by your energy. So everything that you truly need is always, this is another huge key, it's always within your reach right now. It's always at hand. You can reach out as far as your arm span, wherever it is you're sitting, and can place your hand on all the resources you will ever need to handle the moment that you're in. It's an absolute spiritual promise. I have traveled around the world 20 times in countries where I had no connections, I didn't know anybody, I very seldom had very much money, and so I have adopted that belief system so strongly that I've always been supernaturally provided for. And my belief is this: sufficient unto the day, unto the moment, and unto the circumstance in which I find myself is everything provided, whether it's money or food or shelter or love or companionship or support, whatever it is, it's included in that moment in which you sit right now. And you become aware of it by accepting that as your belief, by faith. That's how you move into that. You say, okay, I believe that. And that's what is taught in the scriptures, the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita. Go into this very thing, oh, in different words, but the principle is the same. So everything that you truly need is always within reach right now. It's always sufficient to meet the moment at hand. So we live in an abundant universe that will go to any miraculous lengths to deliver exactly what your heart desires. Your true heart's desire, not your lust, not your greed, not your wishful thinking, not your coveting what somebody else has, not your ego's fantasies, but your true heart's desire that really only the Lord knows. Even you don't really know what you truly desire. So your key again is cease wanting and wishing and move right into the having of it. Just move into the experience, feeling, knowing of the having of it. And whatever you truly need, second key, is always at hand. It's within reach. It's present where you are right now. The third key is to start giving whatever you have in your hand to bless another. Doesn't, you know, it can be so simple. The Bible is full of stories of how people in times of famine were blessed by giving just a tiny little cake. You know, when they had not enough to feed even themselves and they were starving, they would give what little they had to a prophet who would then bless them with supernatural abundance for the rest of their time during the famine. So the best survival, you know, people are talking about hoarding food and hoarding water and this and that and the other thing. You know, that's not going to do diddly squat. You know, one good earthquake is going to, you know, collapse your pantry and crush your water bottles and whatever. You know, it says in the Bible that those who try to save their lives will lose their lives, and those who give their lives on behalf of the Christ will have life eternal. So the more we try to preserve our little sad, sorry flesh, the more the spirit within us demonstrates what futility that is. So the way to have abundance is to let people, things, money, sources, and substances that you have available to you, let them be loose in your life. In other words, don't contract and constrict and shut down and tighten up, but rather loosen up and allow more goodness in and more goodness to flow through you to others. What you make happen for another, God will make happen for you. That's why you really don't have to think about yourself at all. If you seek first to be a conscious ambassador of the kingdom of God and live in a way that is right with God and with your fellow man. In other words, a life of righteousness or dharma or integrity, honesty, truthfulness. You will have that complete provision as a covenant blessing over your life. It's, again, it's Bible. It's gospel truth. It's absolutely what you can place and stake your life upon. When you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and his righteousness, then all else is added unto you. Everything else. I have, since I was a young girl dancing in Las Vegas in a dance company, I have written that scripture out and had it on my dressing room mirror. I can't say I understood it back then, but the idea and the principle of it, I lived my whole life as best I could with the little understanding that I had of it at the time. And that was enough. Because again, what little we do understand, God maximizes to the complete fullness of whatever it is we need. That's another principle. No matter what little you offer to God, God maximizes it and completes it to perfection. He bridges all of our inadequacies to absolute success and perfection. That's why a successful life can never be lived apart from conscious awareness of the divine. Ever. You can't succeed without God. You know, if God does not build a house, they who labor to build it in vain. You're building on shifting sand. You have to construct everything on the rock of your salvation, which is the Christ, the Lord, the Father of all lights, of all good things, the bestower of all largesse, wealth, and success. You can't shimmy-wiggle away or around from that. You've got to build the house of your consciousness on the solid rock of the Christ, which is another way of saying the divine approval and anointing of the Holy Spirit, because the word Christ means not only Messiah, but the Anointed One. So the principle here is to sow a seed to enable yourself to harvest your need. So, sow a seed to meet your need. Sow a seed to harvest your need. Whatever it is that you want, pick a small portion. It doesn't have to be a lot. But there again, if you sow lavishly, you will reap lavishly. If you sow meagerly, you'll reap meagerly. But be aware that every thought, word, and deed, every intention of your entire being, every expression of energy is a seed which will produce a harvest of some type in your life. If you want to know what your future is like, you don't have to run to the psychic. All you need to do is look at your life and make a list of the seeds that you're sowing, of your time, your love, your listening, your attention, your prayers, your physical things that you may do to help another, where you're putting your money and for what purpose and to support what action, the thoughts that you think from the time you wake up until you go to bed at night. What's your first thought in the morning? That's the seed for your day. What's your last thought at night? That's your seed for your night travel. You see how that works? So think of everything that you energetically place out into the world as a seed that's going to harvest in like manner. You know, everybody wants to be a master, but this is what it takes to master yourself. This is what it takes to become fully a co-creator, a co-worker with God. So, in practice, take a portion of whatever you have in hand and sow it as a seed. If you need a job, go and volunteer. Go to the food bank or some organization that's out there helping people. Go help the homeless. Go stand in the soup line and dish out soup and bread to the people in the park like they have here in MacArthur Park in Los Angeles. Help somebody out without any expectation of return. Offer it as a seed to harvest your place of employment. Now, if you need money, then sow a financial seed in good soil. Good soil is whatever feeds, fuels, and empowers you spiritually. Sowing a tithe, which is 10% of your gross income, faithfully into the kingdom of God and into God's work will absolutely guarantee that you will always have your needs met. That's right out of the book of Malachi in the Bible. You'll always have food. You'll always have shelter. You'll always have clothing. Not only you, but your seed, which means your children. So your own faithfulness to God covers the whole family with a covenant blessing, part of the covenant blessing of the seed of Abraham, which every born-again believer is. You come under the Abrahamic covenant, which is a blood covenant that cannot be broken between you and God. So these are important principles if you want to be proactive in cooperating with the divine principles of the kingdom of God and doing your part to come into alignment with the divine pattern, the divine design for that. Next, treat yourself and others as royalty, as the heirs of the wealthiest of all kings, who just happens to be your father. Begin to think of yourself as a royal heir. You know, forget the human fathers. Very few of them have been around for us. And we don't need to project their inadequacies upon God the Father. Allow God to reach in and bring a healing of those memories. But know that whether or not you had an earthly father who cared and fulfilled his words to you, you have a heavenly father who will always fulfill his word for you. He will never suffer you to have embarrassment or to come to harm when you've placed your trust in him. Never, never, never. He will always be there for you. So know also that God wants the best for you. Yes, you. I don't care who you are, what you are. God loves you and wants the best for you. You deserve to be loved, and you deserve to be well cared for. So it's important that you think enough of yourself, care enough about yourself, and love yourself enough to import as much quality into your life as possible. In other words, feed yourself not the cheapest thing on the menu, but what you truly enjoy eating. Buy food that is of the highest, freshest, purest quality that you possibly can. Begin to invest in yourself. Begin to import into your life whatever brings greater goodness, understanding, grace, spiritual strength, wisdom. Invest carefully in the things that support your divinity and your position in the kingdom of God. Quality, quality, quality. Read the best books. Watch the best programs when you watch television. Don't just waste time watching trash. And you have to choose and pick carefully because there's 90% trash. But there's also some very good things on. They have a wonderful series now called Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. Marvelous, wonderful, wonderful program. UFO Hunters, UFO Files, excellent, excellent information. Many of the programs on History Channel and National Geographic and Discovery are just full of wonderful things. So you can choose and pick carefully. And this is a transmission that's going to be coming directly from the highest levels of the Ashtar Command. So just relax, take a deep breath. And as we shift up a considerable notch consciousness, we see that tremendous effulgent purple light coming in. which transmutes and clears anything that's not for your highest good, and brings you into perfect alignment to move into the golden kingdom of the beloved. In fact, that purple light is the color signature of the presence of the beloved. As the beloved becomes one with you in your inner consciousness. So welcome the Lord into your heart as you would the most honored guest in your home. And invite him to be at home in you for all eternity. And we invite you to fully embrace of the joy of ongoing life. Know, beloved, that you will always exist. You will always live. You will always grow and learn and expand into ever greater life and loving. The universe loves you and expands to embrace more of your fullness. You are a dimensional portal through which countless star systems are being birthed, and worlds within worlds are emanating from your being and birthed through your fiery heart and through your love. At the same time, know that there is a power greater than you, that you are forever part of, and that lives inside of your human instrument as your true source. Know that you exist in all worlds and realms at all times. As a spirit being, you exist omnipresently, even though you believe you are here in a human form. Know that you are unique and necessary to complete the beauty of the tapestry of life. Know that your life is by your own election and choice of experiences. You wanted these experiences because only these particular experiences that you've elected to go through can teach you what you've come here to learn. All your experiences are good and useful, regardless of the form they may have taken. Yes, even if your body should die, you, as a spirit, will go on into another dimension of life, just as real there as you think you are here. Know this, beloved, that it can erase forevermore the fear that you have for loved ones when they cross out of the body, sometimes abruptly through accidents, or perhaps in the crib, in infancy, or perhaps in other ways that distress you. Know that no one is in their body at the time of their death. No one is present in their body at the time of death. Ever. Whether it's a plane crash or an automobile crash or whatever it is or how sudden it is, no one is in their body at that time. You as a spirit leave when you are finished learning and experiencing whatever it was that you came here on earth to learn and to experience. Whether you live, as a fetus for a few months, or you live as a birthed infant for a day or two, or you are perhaps a child or a toddler, or a young person, or you live to be 116. or whatever, you will only leave when you're complete with your life and it's time to leave and the Lord gives permission for you to leave. How many people have you heard tried to commit suicide or the parent tried to abort them, and no matter what they tried, it didn't work? The person lived, survived, was born, or they were met on the other side and sent back to the body saying, you're not finished yet, you have to go back. Or sometimes a person is finished and the Lord comes to them and gives them a choice. So you're always given a choice. You're not just slam dunked willy-nilly without your consent into the next dimensions. You really need to trust God and know God and love God and feel God's love for you. To embrace the process of the cycle that's prevalent in these lower dimensions, which is birth and death and rebirth, until you feel and are completed with your experiences. So you as a spirit, as a soul, always leave your body prior to the actual moment of death. That's why people who have had near-death experiences and horrific accidents, they don't remember a single thing. They don't remember the impact. They don't remember the pain. They don't remember the paramedics. They don't remember the jaws of death. They don't remember the trip by ambulance to the hospital. Sometimes they don't remember anything, and they wake up sometimes from a coma weeks later saying, where am I? What happened? And they have to be told. Don't you think you can trust the goodness and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God to deliver you to the other side, just as you were delivered through the birth canal into this life? There are certain things that are so natural and part of these lower worlds that we can release the fear and the dread and the concern that we have about these things. Everything is merciful and just and loving in God's administrations to you. So it's important to know that you as a spirit are eternal and can never die. It's impossible for you to die. You will always exist and know your own existence. So death is a pleasant release and freeing of your consciousness from the cage and entrapment of the flesh and the pain of the body. And you experience a sense of yourself that is so joyful and so wise and so free. It's certainly nothing to be feared. So no one dies before their time or without their conscious consent, regardless of when or how that occurs. So there's absolutely nothing for you to fear. Ever. Everything is divinely designed for your benefit and ultimate fulfillment, pleasure, and joy. God wants you to have joy, and that more abundantly, and fullness of life, and robust divine health, and prosperity. He wants the whole of you to be prospered and to flourish. That's God's will for you. So in everything that truly matters, failure is impossible, and victory is already yours. You never have to be concerned with failure. In fact, it's very important to give yourself permission to try and have lots of experiences without concern about whether or not you'll succeed. If it's of God and God is in it with you, it'll succeed. It will prosper. It will flourish. If it's of your ego and your monkey mind and your lower self, it won't succeed. It won't flourish. It'll come to naught. So in that sense, it would have failed. But then you would have learned something even more important, is that you don't try to do things without God's anointing. How do you know you're anointed? You are given supernatural power to do things that you're anointed for. That's how you can tell. It's, again, it's bigger than you are. You could not possibly do it without supernatural assistance. The assistance comes upon you as a sense of empowerment and boldness and creative resources that spontaneously arise within you. And then you know you have God's kiss of approval, and you are anointed to do whatever that is. So perhaps you may be in a very difficult time in your life right now. Let's look at that. So, if you're in a really difficult time in your life and you don't know what you're going to do, we suggest that you experience it. Just be present with it. Experience it fully. So fully that you will consummate the experience and never have to repeat it. Allow it to teach you everything it possibly can. So embrace and accept the experience, whatever it is. Don't even say it's good or bad. In fact, everything that happens, see it as a blessing of God in disguise. And thank the Lord for it. Whatever it is, always give God gratitude. Always give God praise. That will turn even the most adverse circumstances to your benefit, so that even your worst enemies you will have favor with them, and they will find a way to bless you. That is what happens when you offer God gratitude and praise, no matter what happens in your life. So, thank God also when you're in a difficult situation for the strength necessary and the needful resources to do your part in handling it. You know, even if you don't have money, thank God for the abundant resources that will find their way into your life to meet the need that you have financially. Thank God for the strength. Say, for example, you have a very unpleasant medical diagnosis. Do you know that you'll never be given anything you can't handle? Do you know that everything will turn out for your blessing, regardless of the form that it seems to take to get that blessing to you? Don't worry about anything. When you're in that situation, in that place, you will be able to handle it. God will clothe you with such faith, with such whatever it is you need will be there at hand with you and upon you and around you to minister to you and get you through that situation, whatever it is. So God will never lead you to anything that He won't lead you through and equip you to handle. Know that wherever you are, God is. You're never left alone. God will turn even the worst of circumstances into the most outrageous goodness for you and for whoever is involved in the situation. And know that all is well. And this too shall pass. You know, whatever it is, it will have its time and its cycle and its season, and then it'll be next. But you will usher it forth from you quicker if you move to gratitude and acceptance. If you get the lesson quickly, which is to praise God regardless of what's going on, what's happening, have faith in God, trust God, praise God. If you move to that place, then it's going to be out of your life so fast because you will have learned the lesson, so there'll be no need for the experience. You know, there's no lesson there if you've already turned your experience into praise and gratitude and love and acceptance. What's to be learned? So that's how you move things quickly through your life. Every event in your life has only a certain limited time and a certain limited lesson span. So we need to really be present with what Spirit is presenting. That's why being here now is so important. You need to be present and on top of whatever your experience is so that you can bring your full consciousness and awareness to bear on it in the most appropriate way. You're never, ever given anything you can't handle or that you have not elected to experience. In other words, there are no victims, absolutely none, ever. There are no accidents. There aren't even any coincidences. Everything is divinely, impeccably, perfectly laid forth in a divine pattern for your life. You are loved unconditionally because you are divine, and you're forever part of God, the spirit of life itself. That's why you so belong here. You are so included in God. You are so encompassed about by the hosts of angels and by the vastness of this abundant and beautiful and love-filled universe. And you are looked after and guarded and guided by countless loving eyes, by your multidimensional family of light, and your multidimensional friends. My heavens, you have friends and a family here in this dimension, but do you remember the friends and family you have in the countless worlds you've lived in before? You have trillions and millions of fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and lovers and husbands and wives and every form of relationship. I'll bet you when we are complete with all of this beautiful experience in the lower worlds of time, space, energy, and matter, condensed into form, when we're finished with all that, I'll bet you there won't be a single soul in existence that we haven't known as father, mother, sister, brother, lover, friend, husband, wife, child. I'll bet everyone has played a role with us as someone we loved at some point in time. But, you know, nobody goes anywhere. When someone passes into another dimension, or you forget your past and you incarnate on Earth, and you forget the family you left back on Venus. I mean, the example is this. How many of you have had a dream at night? I have them all, used to have them all the time, of being in love with someone and having a beautiful baby. And I'd be holding this baby and nursing it, and oh, I'd be so happy. I'd just, you know how you feel when you've had your child. There's no feeling quite like it on Earth. And you wake up, and the baby's gone. And that wonderful lover that you were embracing is gone. And you're all alone in your room. And you have to sit there and kind of gather yourself together. It's like, but that seems so real. Wow. Gosh, consciousness is strange. I've said that so many times. Consciousness is so strange. Here I was madly in love with this beautiful, gorgeous hunk, and we were married, and I had this wonderful, wonderful baby I'd just given birth to. And bam, I wake up, and they're gone. Well, it's kind of like that. You left a family and people that loved you, that you loved, to come and be born in an earth body and to forget all that. It's God's grace that you forget your past lives, because then you can have a new experience that's not cluttered by the past. That's why you don't remember your past lives until you get to a position of God consciousness, like Sai Baba, for example. And then, you know, you can see and know everything. But otherwise, there's no point to clutter your consciousness with stuff in the past. But isn't that interesting? you don't remember them. And likewise, when you pass from this world and you get born again, let's say on another planet, unless you decide to go all the way home into the heart of God, you may be born on Venus next time or one of the other sacred planets. And there you'll have another life. And you won't remember your Earth life. You won't remember anything about it at all. Isn't that interesting? I think I told you some shows back that I spent 2 weeks aboard ship with Ashtar. This occurred when we were in Greece in a hotel that overlooked the Parthenon. So I could just open. Actually, I didn't even have to open the window. The window was open. I just have to gaze from my bed, look down, and I would see the Parthenon. How odd is that? And I was very ill and had a tremendous infection in my body. Didn't go to a doctor in Greece because nobody spoke English. So we just sort of depended on Sai Baba's vibhuti and prayer and olive oil and honey to medicate me. And in that time, I left my body and I went back up on the ship with Ashtar. Now, when I got on the ship, I noticed that Ashtar was standing there next to Lord Sananda, which is what we call Jesus, in his capacity as the commander-in-chief and supreme commander of the Ashtar Galactic Command. He was standing there next to my beloved other wholeness or twin flame, Ashtar. And there were a few other beings there, too, that were medical personnel. And they were gathered around my body, which was, it looked like it was about 10 feet tall, very tall, absolutely gorgeous, radiant, golden form, which as I was drawn near to it, it looked like one of those Greek statues. It was absolutely perfect in terms of its proportions, its phi ratio, the beauty of the form. And Ashtar pointed above the form, and there was one of those little energy schematics that looks like the little doodad that that depicts the atomic, the atomic, particles, that were spinning around. And there was this configuration of light and sound particles that were rotating, like a Merkaba energy field above this beautiful form. And Ashtar pointed to that, and he said, "That's who you really are." And meaning I'm actually the energy of light and sound and divine design, quite apart from the appearance of the bodies that I adopt in various worlds. But anyway, I got into that body, put it on, swung my legs around, although it was not really a table, it was kind of like a suspended light field, and went on about my life. As if I had never been on Earth at all. I didn't remember anything about Earth. Nothing. Nada. I had 2 weeks of being on the ship doing what I do, living my life as I've always known it and lived it at that level. And one day, which it seemed like I was there for eternity. One other thing. As I came aboard ship, as I was beamed up into the ship in my soul body, the first thing I saw was a standing wave column of energy in which a replica of my physical body as it is here in this earth was standing. And it was transmitting the hologram that I wear in time and space. Yeah, our physical bodies here are holographically projected. Those of us that are many of us, I think, that listen to this particular radio seminar are members of the Ashtar Command, and I'm probably telling you things that you're going to go, "Oh, my gosh, I experienced that. Oh, my gosh, that's what that was." Yes. Hello. this standing wave column with this replica of my physical body was transmitting the beam that was holographically causing me to appear in time and space as Ashtar Athena. And very, very interesting. And then that body that I saw there was from obviously the Syrian High Council, and I guess because it was so big, so tall. And so I got into that body and went on living my life. And one day Ashtar said, "It's time for you to return." And I remember looking at him so quizzically. It's like, return? And as I looked at him, he put his hand over my eyes on my forehead, and the next thing I knew, I was, bam, back in my body. But not before something interesting happened. I happened to have 5 bodies located in on Earth at this time, and each one was doing something different in different parts of the world. And I did not know which body I was supposed to return to, except for the one that hurt the most. That's where pain can even be a good thing. I was in terrible physical pain. As I said, I was quite ill. And the pain of my physical body that was in the bed in the hotel in Athens, Greece, was what drew me back into the appropriate time-space capsule that I was to affinitize with, because that's the fulcrum point for the anchoring of the mission that I carry for the Ashtar Command. The others weren't involved in that. They were doing other things in other places. But this is the time-space commitment that I have to for the ascension and the working with the starseed on Earth. So I share that just for the simple reason that we have many, many bodies, vehicles that clothe our consciousness that are appropriate to the different worlds that we live in. I did ask Ashtar if everyone had bodies like that in suspended animation, and he said, not everyone, but many do. Many who are commanders in the Ashtar Command do have bodies that are in suspended animation aboard ship, or hidden in the Brotherhood. Some are in Mato Grosso. I have a body there in the Brazilian jungle. I also have a body in Telos, which is the Agartian city under Mount Shasta, and a few others trotting around here and there. So it's important to realize that you're not even limited to the body you see in the mirror when you get up in the morning. You know, it gets to be real interesting. Real interesting when you begin to really open up to who you really are and what's really going in your life. So, your name is known throughout the galaxies. And you are honored for who and what you are. It's a thrilling thing when the Lord calls your name. I don't know how many of you have actually had that experience, but when God Almighty, or Jesus Christ, this is the same thing, calls your name, and all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, God knows me. God knows me. God knows my name. I don't know why that is such a shock, but it's such a shock to realize that Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and this earth and all planets and stars and suns and moons and galaxies and beings everywhere, the supreme God knows you personally, individually, knows your name, has numbered the hairs on your head, and loves you as part of himself, herself. Yeah, Father, Mother, God loves you personally, individually. And you don't even have to earn that love, because you're loved because of who you are as the child, the emanation, the creation from the Father, Mother, Godhead. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So, beloveds, as you walk through your life, stay under the umbrella of your experience, your sense of being, your knowing, You know, tent yourself under your own tabernacle, your own blessedness, your own covenant walk with God. Stay present with your process, minute by minute, and all, I promise you, will go well. And we promise you, all will go well. Walk in and live by the light of your own understanding. Be yourself. Live your reality and truth. And don't try to imitate another person's life or mission or essence. Today I was watching many people at Graceland trying to be Elvis Presley. Well, you know, there's only one Elvis Presley. There'll never be another, ever, ever. In all of the cosmos, there was a one of. But you know, I could say the same thing for you or myself or anyone else. There's only a one of you. And if you keep trying to be someone else, who's going to be you? I mean, they're already doing that to me. I came upon a website the other day, and they had a picture of Ascended Master Ashtar Athena. I thought, if that isn't the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life, don't even wait until the body's dead. Somebody's already channeling me and has got this picture. Actually, it was a rather good picture. Kind of looked like me when I had dark hair. But the weirdness is this. People who are afraid that they're not going to be enough try to copy and imitate somebody else that they admire. And in the meantime, you're AOL within the cosmos. You're missing. You know, it's like, where are you? You're missing in action. So show up. Be yourself. Offer your unique gifts. Only you can do you. And be true. Be true to that self that is made in the image and likeness of God. And God being a spirit means that your image and likeness is spiritual. It's eternal. It transcends all of the weakness and foibles of the time-space capsule that you think of as yourself, your physical body. So whatever appears in your life comes with everything that you need to show up and to be successful in that particular episode. It comes with a measure of strength that you may need, the power, the faith, and all necessary resources to meet the particular circumstances in which you find yourself. So you are here to have experiences, all kinds of experiences. So I encourage you to live your life out loud. You know, just jump right into it and participate fully in it. And don't be afraid to take risks. Leap by faith into the unknown areas. And whenever you act in faith, you will never fail, even if it comes out in a way that you didn't foresee or expect. In fact, that is where the faith comes in. The walk by faith is always blind to what is next. So if you handle the faith and the walking part, God will handle all the rest. So walk in faith and leave the details and the working outs and the outcome to God. And no matter what you do, beloveds, choose always the loving action, the loving word, the loving attitude. Follow the way, the Tao of love, honor, and respect for all, which includes you. Honor and respect yourself. And the love walk is always on the highest path and is always for the highest good. That's how you can know that you're doing the right thing. When you walk in faith and love, you're always in the will of God. And when we talk about this love, real true love is the love in which no one loses. No one is harmed. No one is hurt, and no one is excluded. So love is all-inclusive, or it's not love at all. So everything and everyone in your life is actually there to bless you. In some way, ultimately, they're going to bless you. and to reveal to you your own wholeness and holiness. In fact, when you really are operating out of your own holiness and your own wholeness, which is actually the same thing, that's all you're going to really notice in other people. We notice in others where we're incomplete in ourselves. That's how, by how you see others, you can tell what's going on in your own life. That's that mirror effect. So yes, all things are there just as they need to be and just as they are meant to be. And you can absolutely trust the goodness of life and divine grace, even in the most dire circumstances. So love God and everything will work out for your good. Absolutely everything. No exceptions. Do your allotted duty, your dharma, with love. Whatever that is, wherever it is, with whomever it is, do it for God. And know that everyone, no matter what role they're pretending to play, is divine. One divine spirit, living and expressing through the very unique energy streams of consciousness, life streams of our individual presentations. I think it's so important to never hesitate to worship the holy and divine presence in all persons, places, and things. You know, I've always been able to see God, the one God, in every conceivable guise. I, to tell you the truth, have no problem at all bowing before anyone, because to me, everyone is simply a container for my beloved, my dearest, most beloved Lord dwells in every single person. And because of that, I have no problem loving and seeing that divinity. And I believe that that's the most useful thing that we can ever do with our life here in this realm of masquerades and shadows of reality, is to just love it all and see it all as it really is, which is but another face of the one divine, all that is. So I encourage you to open your mind, open your heart, open your life, open your aura, open your miracle-mindedness, and allow the winds of eternity, the winds of God, to carry your life like a thistle down. Let it carry you where it will. Don't worry where you'll land. Do you know the universe is prepared to welcome you and to make room for you? And in fact, the place that you are to be is always prepared for you beforehand. How happy your life will be when you can relax and trust with all your heart and just be who you are with total unabashed honesty and transparency, to just allow yourself to be. You know, people who are afraid to die are also afraid to truly live. So I think it's important for everyone to face death, to really meditate on it. That's a very Shiva process in India. The yogis will sit on a grave, in a graveyard and meditate, or the burning ghat where they have the cremations down in the by the Ganges. they will sit there and they'll meditate on dissolution and impermanence of the form. And I think that's important because we need to look at things without emotion, without attachment, without fear, without avoidance, with courage. Courage means with heart. We need to extend the wealth of our heart and look through the eyes of our heart upon everything without fear and see the beauty in everything. Everything has its place and its purpose. And death comes as a great friend, for it allows you to renew and reinvent yourself and to change to another form and life expression. On Venus, in the higher dimensions, the divine dimensions, I said we don't have death in the divine soul realm of the planet Venus, which is one of the highest dimensions. What happens is that when we want to change form, there's, I think probably you would call it, the ascension flame. It's like the Moxon flame, if you're familiar with that teaching from Atlantis. There's this flame that used to be the giver of life and the giver of the power that fueled Atlantis during the height of its golden age. And that was brought, you know, the legend of Prometheus that brought the fire from heaven. It's like that, the fire from heaven, the Moxon flame was brought from higher worlds, from heavenly worlds, to Earth during the Atlantean root race. And we could translocate multidimensionally. We could, transfigure the atoms of our body into higher, higher, subtler forms and enter into that flame and disappear from this particular envelope of expression and rematerialize in a new form as we wished. In fact, if you study the Vedic teachings, there was a time in the earlier yugas, earlier ages, where the man and the woman would have a sacrificial fire, a yagna, it's called. They would have this ritual, fire ritual, and out of the fire ritual, they would birth the demigods or the child, which, you know, all of them were great enlightened sages, so they were birthed by the fire, by the Agni, the fire of sacred ritual. But that was imported right from those higher dimensional planes on these other planets. So we just step into this ascension flame and we move into a different manifestation if we want to. You know, it's there if we wish to do that. So we like new life. We like to reinvent ourselves. We don't like to ever be static. In fact, it's not part of the nature of anything in the universe to be static. So when you can face death without fear and with faith, then you will find that you can have a tremendous joy of life and can really live and love fully without any shred of fear. And likewise, train yourself to face loss and change, also with equanimity. So freely enjoy whatever you have while you have it with you. Things don't last forever here. Relationships move on. They change. Your children grow up. They move away. Let everyone be free to do whatever is next. But don't cling. Don't cling to anything, nor impede it from passing from your life when it is time for next to move into your life. You have to move and make room for new experiences and new relationships. And you have asked for so many experiences that each must at some point make way for the next. You may have forgotten the many things that you've asked to experience in this life, but God has not forgotten. And God always has you in mind to bless you and to increase your joy. So expect the absolute best, for I think that makes the delivery a lot easier. beautiful, beloveds. You can absolutely trust your heart, your life, and the universe. You can absolutely trust it to deliver whatever is for you, to you, in the perfect time and the perfect manner. And you know, another thing, be aware that while the entire universe, if necessary, will rearrange itself to deliver whatever it is you wish to you, be aware that you can't necessarily have it all in this life, in this particular body. So it is wiser if you ask only for what is for your highest spiritual good and highest divine destiny, and let God sort that out for you. Otherwise, where your heart lies, there lies your treasure, and where your attention is focused, there you will re-embody if you have attachment to the things of this world. So don't be attached to anything in the material world if you want to pass into the realms beyond birth and death. So whether you come into this world but once or a trillion times, forever and always remember that you live in God and in God's love and within the fabric of life in which you are inextricably woven as part of a divine pattern, the design so perfect that without your particular portion, your particular pattern, your particular thread and color, it would be incomplete. So relax and do what you came to do. You know what that is because that's what you invariably want to do. But realize that whatever happens is just part of a passing dreamscape in these lower worlds. And in this dream, you will dream and sleep and awaken and dream again, but you will eventually awaken. And finally and ultimately, you will awaken and realize that you've been the one great dreamer of all dreams. And yes, that too is who and what you are. So you can never lose yourself. You can never lose your identity. You can never lose your uniquely begotten sonship from the one divine Father, Mother, God. So let's go out chanting on I, you. Deep breath. On I, you. On I, been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command, and we say to one and all, Baraga Basu Adonai, which means we send you brotherly love from the richness and abundance of our heart to the richness and abundance of each one of your hearts. And the name of the Lord is Adonai.